somebody who asked a question here one day. I was referring to some people as, you know, mighty men of God. And these powerful men of God. That's the way he put it. And I had to ask him, you will need to know what is the power of God before you can know who is a powerful man of God. Am I correct? You have to know what is the power of God. Church, the power of God that was released on the cross on Calvary is not the power to raise the dead. It's a small power. The power to restore the sight of the blind is a small power. So small until Satan can do his job. Two people can make the lame to walk. Do you understand me? Somebody stands and say, you want to see the power of God? Up, and you fall down. Up, and you rise again. Thank God for that power, but it's a small power. What is the greatest power that is on earth today? The power that can change a sinner to a saint is the greatest power that exists on earth today. That is the greatest power. Hallelujah. Listen, church. You are not a powerful man of God until you can preach and a sinner can truly repent. Only the carriers of that power of transformation can preach while Peter yet spake. Hallelujah. A power was released that converted a sinner to a saint. That power struck Apostle Paul, a murderer. Oh, glory be to God. When that power strikes an armed robber, he will drop his gun. When that power strikes a prostitute, she will stop prostitution. When that power strikes a cocaine pusher, he will repent. When that power strikes an adulterer, he will repent, she will repent. That is the greatest power that exists on earth.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
Praise God, Pastor. Another question I want to ask you, Pastor. You know, many of us, like, we are baptized in Catholic Church when we are small by sprinkling of water. Eh? Now that we are taught that the real baptism is by immersion, we are still in that baby character. The understanding is still somehow childish. From the first time we heard it from you, and we went into the water, and after that, so many things was happening because we don't really know the meaning of what we did. So, Pastor, when we now grow older and begin to realize the full meaning of consecration, like we are going through now, do we go back to this water to make our calling and election sure? If, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you give your life to Christ, listen. Listen. And listen very well, church. Water baptism is not the new birth. You are not born again because you went for water baptism.
And you cannot talk of a baby Christian until you have been born again. You become a baby from the day you are born again. Then you grow to maturity. After you are born again. Water baptism, I repeat, is to position you to be born again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know I'm saying something strange now.
Yes.
Yes. Water baptism is the process of justification, where the sin that has separated us from God, from the Garden of Eden, when Adam fell to sin, Adam and Eve, the glory of God departed. Sin separated man from God. Until we were not qualified to even see his glory. That's why when he was given the pattern of the building of the temple to Moses, he had to have the different courts, and then where his glory dwelt, there was a veil that covered it. So that, because a sinful man cannot behold the glory of God. That's why the veil covered the Holy of Holies in the temple. But Christ came and paid the supreme price, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He offered that sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and made a way for us to approach the glory of God. That is why that temple, on the day that Christ gave up the ghost, the temple, the veil that covered the Holy of Holies, that separated the congregation, was torn from up down, making us know that we now have access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when you have access, he now said in Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, ye all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now you can come to God, and then he will do something. Hallelujah. That thing that he does is what changes your nature. Now, John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. So what verse 3 is saying there is, except a man be born again, he cannot see. It means you can't understand the kingdom. Because Nicodemus came and was asking him, he said, "Master, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. We know." But, you know, he knew where he was coming from. And he quickly asked him, you know, answered him, "You are coming to me now. You think you understand. You will never understand what is going on concerning what I'm doing, except you are born again." That's what he was telling him.
And Nicodemus asked him, what do you mean? Will a man again go and enter the mother's womb? He said, you see now, you see the way you're looking at it. Eh? And then he quickly told him, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit. Now, the water there is the water. Hallelujah. The water there, one, water baptism that cleanses you, and the water of the world. What cleanses us from sin? The cleansing from sin. We have two types of sin. The first sin is the one we inherited from Adam and Eve. And when you enter that water and come out in water baptism, you identify with God's provision for that sin to be remitted. Now, secondly, there is also a nature in you that needs to be dealt with. That is the sinful nature which water baptism cannot take care of. But the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When that word of God, Jeremiah called it like a hammer, you know, comes upon you, then you understand why Jesus said in Ephesians chapter, Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 says, we are washed by the water of the word. The word of God you receive every day washes you, cleanses you. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes on a sinner, then it transforms that sinner to a saint. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. Praise the Lord. So that is what changes you, and you grow in it. The stature of perfection. In 2 Peter chapter 1, if you read it down up to verse 12, that is the stature where he says you should add to your faith what? Virtue. Add to virtue what? Knowledge. Add to knowledge what? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
7 steps. Temperance. After temperance, what do we have? Patience. After patience, what do we have? There are 7 of them like that. Well, that is the stature. You are supposed to grow from that level to that level. And in Hebrews chapter 6, Apostle Paul was telling us that we should move from this elementary water baptism, laying on hand, all this, I say we should move to perfection. Moving to perfection, that is moving to maturity. When you are born again, I think Peter is the one that said, as newborn babes, he said we should desire the sincere milk of the word. When a little baby is born, he is fed with milk. It is the milk that strengthens the baby, and then you grow. And that is likened to the word of God. And that is why too, that we have in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, who shall we teach knowledge? Amen. Where he says, them, who are those that you teach knowledge? He said, them that are weaned from the breasts. They are those that they are matured enough to be taught knowledge. That is those who have their standing on the breast that fed them, they nourishes them. And I said that it makes us look like the young child, the little child that the mother gives birth to. When God created the woman, he did not give her one breast. How many breasts did he give her? 2. 1 on the left, 1 on the right. For what purpose? The breast there is to nourish the child that she will bring forth. And when he said, them that are weaned from the breasts, that is, he's telling you that look at that woman. The woman there is a type of God. God is referred to as Jehovah El Shaddai. El Shaddai there is the strength giver, otherwise known as the breasted one. And he gave a type in the woman. The woman has two breasts, one on the left, one on the right. Jehovah El Shaddai also has two breasts, Old Testament and New Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Them that are weaned from the breast, they are those that he will teach knowledge. And that is how we grow from the word. Feed on the word. Thank you. Not water baptism.
Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Fleet, I want to ask two questions. My first question is, what is the difference between God in appearing in angelic form and an angel?
Yes. Anytime God wants to do anything, remember that God is a spirit. And the nature of the spirit that God is, you cannot call him a personality because you can't draw his picture. He is so big until wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And the Bible says that heaven is his throne. And the earth is what? His footstool. That is, he's so big until when he decides to sit down in heaven, his leg will rest on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then it was sent, I think, to the psalmist where he says that what house can you build for him? That you think God will go and dwell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but each time he wants to appear to his children, man, he will take a form that he can use to relate to that person he wants to appear. So he would take the form of an angel and come and talk with you. He has his angels. Sometimes he even comes in the form of a man. Some people have met an old man on the road before that spoke with you. And he will speak with so much how definite that, you know, when you turn and you look, you discover that he has disappeared. Okay? And he can descend so low until he can begin to speak to you. You will hear his voice speaking to you. So, the angelic presence of God is God coming to you in the form of an angel. Now, how do you know the difference between the real angels and him? Is that an angel is a messenger, and he will always bring a message. Therefore, he will not speak in the authority of him. He will always speak making reference to the one that sent him. I am sent. The Lord said, this will happen. This will happen. But if it is God, he will speak with authority. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. That is God speaking to you. And then also, sometimes when he truly wants you to know that it is him, he lets his glory come. You can't withstand it. You will shake, all your bones will go until he disappears. Then you will not say, no be ordinary angel, come. Okay. But he can also humble himself until he can sit down with Abraham and eat barbecue. That is the God we serve. He can decide to humble and he can decide to come in a glory that nobody will be able to see it. That is the God we serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Then yes. My second question is, how are we the Word that made flesh today? Is there any scripture that back it up?
No, when you say you are the Word, because our hymn says we are the Word made flesh today. You know, the Word of God lived is the Word made flesh. When you have the ability to live according to the Word of God, then that Word of God becomes flesh. You are able to live by the Word. That is the Word made flesh today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
God's attributes were manifested to his pride in this last thing. We have fought forever.